Iraqi officials say a wave of attacks in Baghdad this morning have killed at least 23 people and wounded dozens. The attacks came on the 10th anniversary of the US-led campaign in Iraq that toppled Saddam Hussein. Tony Blair insisted that intelligence showed the country had dangerous weapons of mass destruction, but critics said the evidence was made up and called the war illegal. Today, he accepts the intelligence he acted on was inaccurate, but stands by his decision to remove dictator Saddam Hussein.
He had killed thousands upon thousands of people from the use of chemical weapons. Actually, the final weapons inspector's report show he retained the means and the intent. It's correct that he put his actual program into abeyance, but I don't think for a single moment that if we in 2003 had retreated, we'd left Saddam, we lifted the sanctions, which we would have had to have done, we wouldn't have been back dealing with them again now.
Well, the DUP politician, Geoffrey Donaldson, with us this morning. Morning to you, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
You voted for the war in Iraq, and the commentator, Eamon McCann. Morning to you, Eamon.
Morning.
Good morning. Eamon, what will, looking back on it now, what are your views on Tony Blair?
Well, my views on Tony Blair is that he lied in his teeth to Parliament and to the British people and to the world in order to lure them into supporting a war, which whether or not it was illegal in formal terms, that's not the part of the argument that interests me. It was wrong in moral terms, and it was wrong sort of in that that it sparked off, a continuing conflagration and disintegration in the Middle East. And we've just heard, this morning on the news, that far from that invasion sorting anything out in Iraq, we have mass murderous attacks still going on today. Now, it'd be speculative to say what would have happened had there not been an invasion, but certainly, out of the sectarian war, erupted in Iraq after the invasion, cannot be separated from the invasion itself. This has been a disastrous war, launched on a lie, and broadly speaking, I'd say that all of the reasons given for the invasion at the time have turned out to be wrong, whereas all of the arguments of those who opposed the invasion have turned out to be, generally speaking, right.
Geoffrey?
Well, of course, I accept that information that was made available to Parliament at the time the decision was made to go to war, some of it was undoubtedly erroneous, and it is a matter of regret, and I think something Tony Blair has come to regret. Nevertheless, I do think that Eamon is trying to rewrite history here a little. He overlooks the fact that sectarian conflict in Iraq has been going on for decades, long before the Allied forces invaded. And indeed, Iraq had been at war with Iran in a Shia-Sunni conflict. And so it is not unheard of in that particular region that there is sectarian conflict. Sadly, that continues today. I was in Iraq last year, visited the city of Kirkuk, which is a divided city along sectarian Shia-Sunni lines. Of course, Kirkuk influences there as well. It's a very dangerous place. There's no doubt that the conflict there is very real. We've seen that tragically this morning yet again, with many people losing their lives. So I would certainly accept that the war does not resolve conflict in Iraq or indeed in the region. It may have been that in time with the Arab Spring, Saddam might have been toppled anyway, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that he was responsible for the murder of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens.
And Eamon, how many more? And Eamon, how many more people would have been killed by Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons if he had not have been taken out?
Well, interesting. You should bring that up, the chemical weapons, because it's interesting that we haven't mentioned, and indeed that I haven't seen mentioned anywhere in the mainstream media, of the fact that yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Saddam Hussein's attack upon the people of Halabja in what was certainly the most atrocious use of chemical warfare in modern times, and that was to punish them for allegedly supporting Iran. Let's get something absolutely clear here. The West, including Britain and the United States, were gung-ho in favour of Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq war that Jeffrey has just referred to. And the massacre at Halabja did not deter them from continuing that support. I can recall demonstrations organized by the left, well, actually that's wrong, organized by Kurdish exiles and supported by left-wingers outside the Iraqi embassy in London, protesting against the massacre of Kurds in Halabja by Saddam Hussein. I cannot remember a single figure or a single political group which was subsequently to support the invasion which came out and condemned Saddam Hussein at that time. On the contrary, Saddam Hussein was being armed, and that has been demonstrated in the United States in recent years when the documents have come to light. The United States was arming Saddam Hussein during that time. And now we find, astonishingly, that those who still support the war are quoting the Iran-Iraq war as a justification for the invasion. Really twisted.
Jeffrey?
Well, I'm glad that Damon has accepted that the troubles in Iraq didn't begin with the invasion. At least we've made some progress there. He recognises the massacre at Halabja. I met some of the victims of Halabja, the families, and they still continue in their quest to find the remains of their loved ones. And there were striking similarities between their experience and the situation here, albeit on a much smaller scale in Northern Ireland. He's right, of course. The West at times can face both ways. There is no doubt it's not just Iran. If you look at Egypt, if you look at Syria, there have been times when the West have supported and armed regimes which have oppressed their own people. I accept that entirely and have raised that issue myself with the government. That you can't have it both ways here. We either believe in democracy and the rule of law, and we support that wherever it is, or we don't. And I accept what Eamon says, that there are inconsistencies here in relation to the way in which some Western governments have approached these issues.
The number this morning, 08459-555-678. 08459-555-678. The text, 81771. The email, nolan@bbc.co.uk, at Stephen Nolan on Twitter. Eamon, thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you this morning. Jeffrey, thank you. Morning to you too.